窟流萤。Welcome to the second attempt at recording the first episode of the Friends of Kung Fu podcast. My name is Instructor George Jason Boss. I teach internal and external Chinese martial arts. Now, what does that mean, external and internal martial arts? Well, external martial arts, they develop the body, strengthen the muscles, harden the bones, improve the elasticity of the connective tissue, your fascia. And internal, that works to condition your state of being, your emotional, mental, spiritual states, develops your intention, your willpower, and your perspective, develops temperance, patience, and a balanced perspective. One thing about internal martial arts is they include disciplines like herbalism, Chinese medicine, acupuncture, acupressure, the five elements theory, massage, especially self-massage. Then you have disciplines like qigong. Qigong means breath work. It's really just a system of preparing and priming the body to move into martial practice. Now, I have been racking my brain heavily on what to do for the first episode of this podcast. Now, my intention for this podcast is to provide lectures, interviews, music, art, just all outlets that I can to help people understand the many disciplines involved in Chinese martial arts and what really goes in to a well-balanced state of being. So a lot of what's going to be on or in the episodes is interviews and guest speakers and conversations and discussions. It's going to be quite beautiful. My first recording was at the library in the teen room in Livingston, Montana, which is beautiful. They have this wonderful Beatles-themed painting on all four walls that's just, it's an easy place to vibe. But me and my infinite wisdom, you see, one thing about firsts for me, much of my life, even martial arts, began is very much trial and error, sometimes more error, but I never gave up. So we'll talk about first. This is my first go at a podcast. 2019 and 2018 have been a year for firsts, really. I had my first large group class, 2018. My first online courses are coming out here in 2019. Still developing the handbooks and the training journal and some of the lectures for that. Filming the material, etc. My first national competition is coming up. And of course, this podcast. You see, I'm pretty skilled kinesthetically, working with my hands, my energy, my body. But sometimes I struggle a bit technologically. I got a beautiful 33-minute episode recorded, and I forgot to save the file. So I got halfway here, and I was back to my home and realized that I did not save the file, so it was gone. So this is take two. We're going to talk about competition. Simply because the preparation, at least for me, for competition, really sets the stage for the entire last 15 years of my life, which I've been studying Chinese culture, especially martial arts, but even Chinese medicine for the last 15 years, practicing disciplines for the last 10. And I worked for 7 years before competing. I had a lot of reasons for this, mostly because my movement into these disciplines was very self-driven, in the sense that where I lived, it was a very average town, sort of in the northeast of Wyoming. And in the northeast of a state like Wyoming, you don't have a lot of martial arts schools. We had two Taekwondo schools. And, the Korean martial arts and Japanese martial arts have a beautiful, dynamic, and lengthy history. But I always felt sort of a draw to Chinese martial arts. And so, much like Bodhidharma, known as Damo to the Chinese, Cheng San Fung, and even Siddhartha Gautama, I educated myself, in classical texts on martial arts and the theory and principles and the techniques and Chinese medicine theory and ideologies and philosophy and spirituality, especially Eastern disciplines. But a lot of their refinement and development, as far as in their own teaching, came from a lot of life experience and a lot of observation. Legend says, in the case of like Bodhidharma and Chan Sang Fung, that they, watched elements in nature, like watching the river move around over under rocks, and watching animals, how they defended themselves and how they interpreted an environment and learned to integrate themselves into it, sort of developing their niche. And so that was kind of much of my early journey, probably the first 4 or 5 years was composed of just reading, probably 30 or 40 books on internal and external martial arts, Buddhism, Taoism, Chinese medicine, the five elements theory, the Pakhwa, even elements of Chinese astrology, the earthly branches and heavenly stems, all of those things, the concepts of yin and of the yin yang, and then kind of watching videos, watching like full-length DVDs, training DVDs, reading books and mirroring, practicing those movements on my own time in every spare moment, no matter if it was summer, fall, winter, spring, whether I had to practice, in 10 square feet in my room, or practicing in the yard, practicing in the park, practicing in the driveway, and for me, it didn't matter, who was watching or who, what people said, because I mean, it was guess and check. So of course, for a great deal of that journey, you're just gonna look like that weirdo flailing his arms and jumping around in the park. That's just something you have to come to accept, and of course that journey led me to eventually, teaching 2 or 3 years of private lessons and then group classes, becoming a member of or an affiliate of the World Martial Arts College, member of the International Teachers Association for Martial Artists, the Association for Martial Artists Worldwide, pursuing rank certification, and eventually going to competition. But just like preparing for competition, learning traditional martial arts is far more dynamic than I think a lot of people realize from the outside looking in. From the outside looking in, you go to a class, and you know, you stand on the mat and you stretch and you punch and you kick and you stand in weird postures and stances for an uncomfortable amount of time. But the path of traditional martial arts is so much more than a 45-minute class session. With traditional martial arts, you know, you begin, like I say, learning the theory, gathering perspectives and philosophy, and how you interpret it, and then, you know, practicing with teachers, practicing, you know, sparring. But then there's also, before you even get to that point, there is, in the case of Chinese martial arts, you have systems like Daoyin, which translates to Dao, or energy inducing or energy guiding exercises to improve elasticity of the fascia, to improve communication between the halves of your brain, to prime, you know, develop motor units, to prime the muscles, to lubricate the joints, and to improve organ function itself. And then you move into Qigong, which really just helps to your brain to prime itself for learning different patterns and techniques and chain styles and forms. And then, you know, there's learning about the energies of the body and the function of your immune system and your endocrine system and your cardiovascular system and your respiratory system and how these things work together. And then there's how to condition those systems so that you're healthy, because if you're so stressed out all the time that you don't even want to leave the house, much less the couch, or, you know, if you're fatigued or tired or don't have any energy, or you can't, or the other way around, you don't know how to direct any of this energy, you know, in cases of people like myself who grew up as kids with ADHD to the extreme, you have to set the stage. You have to, you know, prime yourself and your thinking. Teach yourself to be able to form positive habits, constructive habits, before you can even think about actually learning martial arts. Because without developed intention, willpower, and a well-rounded perspective, it just leads to a lot of misuse. That was also one of the reasons why I put so much time and effort into learning external and then internal development before even, for example, going to competition. Which, little did I know, became perhaps the most effective way of reflecting on all of that preparation than maybe anything else, simply because when we compete in anything, I think the natural view or assumption is you are competing against that other person, that other team, that other school, whatever. But the truth of the matter is that other person, that other competitor, is nothing more than just a mirror for you to see the intentions, the habits, and the product of your training as you have approached it thus far. And it was a fantastic mirror because that first year, I was pretty well conditioned physically
But I also had a lot of perhaps naive ideologies, because my intention was to just evade, deflect, and counter. Mostly because I still believe it, that temperance, especially in the martial arts, is very important. But you have to be able to embrace the energies of aggression and that kind of thing, and understand how to use that. Because first year, as an example, I definitely held my own, and that is mostly what I did, was evade, block, and counter without wanting to. I very much drew a line in the sand. I didn't want to move into a mindset of aggression. So I did not, use a lot of the more advanced techniques, or and power within the techniques was very, very metered. And I actually was pre-concussed. I walked away with a gold medal in my division, but you have to kind of do a little bit of personal inventory and say, is, albeit a very fancy necklace, worth that kind of physical toil? And strangely enough, what I found preparing for the next year wasn't so much about developing aggression or, using the energy of anger, but developing perspective, learning to separate what's happening outside of me and my reaction to it. Learning to see the powerful connection there. Because if you can, because you may not have a buffer of time, a physical opportunity to separate yourself from what's going on. But if you can, in your own mind, separate your activating event, what is happening to you, and how you respond to it, the results are vastly different. And just as an example, that very next year, I ended up having to do three matches because there were four people in my division, black belt division, and three places, gold, silver, and bronze. So I ended up kind of the round robin candidate to go against each component, or each opponent. So, that next year, it was very important to not just, okay, yes, develop timing and reflexes and response time, but also my perspective, my intention. What is my intention? With this response, with that reaction. And how does it build toward placing or winning the match, or even just protecting myself? Which became pretty vital, because I managed not to break, sprain, dislocate anything. I was not pre-concussed or concussed that second year, and I went through three matches. I was absolutely exhausted, but at no point did I feel as over my head as I did the first year. Now, one of the other differences, for me at least, was the first year, while I was practicing at a Taekwondo school, because one of the external styles, in fact, what I started with, was Northern Tantwe, which is a very simplistic style. It's only got eight forms, and it's got, a handful of strikes and kicks. And the focus of development is the lower body, strong low stances, broad low stances, a lot of kicks, which Taekwondo is kind of has a pretty even division, at least at the most broad level, between they have systems that focus on upper body development and systems that focus on lower body. And it just so happened that the school that allowed me to practice to condition for competition focused on lower body development. I mean, I did kind of end up the only duck in a family of swans. It was very much like, while as far as socially and intellectually, it didn't feel that way, you could still see a very much a division, because it was like they didn't quite know what to do with me, just because so much of my approach by that point, I had already begun to learn internal styles, dabbled a little bit in Tai Chi. Kind of felt like, ironically, there was too much, too many basics, too many like individual movements in Tai Chi for me. But I moved into other internal styles, and then now, of course, I teach Yang Tai Chi and Tai Chi Qigong, based on the Yang system, and I am a member of the Yang Family Tai Chi Association. So, of course, now it's kind of funny, but at the time, it was just for me too much to it. But so it meshed well, but they had their own class schedules, belt testing, competitions, and that kind of thing. So I felt like it was probably out of place to ask anyone to come with me to competition anyway, to be a coach in my corner. And it definitely made a difference, because the next year, after they had gotten to see me and get kind of a feel for who I was as an individual, the other schools were much more involved. After seeing my forms that second year, although I did not place, they asked me to judge forms. And also the other schools, came and asked me, what was that form? What is that style? Lots of things. And I ended up connecting to 6 or 10 people, somewhere in that range anyway, 6 to 10 people, and then their instructors, and connecting to their instructors as a instructor, because at that point I was not doing any group classes, but I had that first year at least, I had 2 years of teaching private lessons, and then the second year, 3 years of teaching private lessons, and I had done 6 months of teaching group classes independently. So it was a beautiful experience, and I got to learn a lot about how to develop my technique as an instructor, and also how to adapt to the opponent. So that was kind of a beautiful thing. Let's see. Really, kind of all I have for this episode, but thank you so much for watching and listening. And I don't expect this to exactly blow up. It may just be my mom or some of my Facebook friends or a couple of my students or, I don't know, my roommates or something, which are also relatives, that even end up listening to it. And if that's the case, well, I mean, that's just beautiful, because for me, if one person listens to this and gets something from it, learns more about martial arts, learns more about history, philosophy, behavior change, even just me as a person, because there's obviously being the creator of the content for the episodes, there's going to be a lot of me in it. And take something from it, or at least just enjoys it. It's a win. So thank you for listening. And this w should be, for all intents and purposes, it's going to be a weekly podcast. So thank you for listening, and I'm excited to provide more content this coming week.
小胜。